From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive today, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are halfway through the month of September, back with episode number 5, and it's good to be back behind the microphone, my beautiful wife, Leah. Leah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
We are excited to be back with you for the 5th episode. As we try to do, if you've listened before, you've noticed at the end of each episode, we try to give just a quick little, 10-second preview about the next program, the upcoming program. And so at the end of episode 4, we mentioned that we're going to be talking about a book this time. But, Leah, we're going to try to avoid the hour-long book review because, frankly, that would be really, really boring if we just basically read the book to people. But also, we don't want to be sued. Because the authors of the book we're going to be reading, A, we like them, B, they have a whole lot more money than we do, so they can afford a lot better lawyers. We're going to be talking about a book that has been out for several months, but that you bought me for Father's Day, but it's also one that we both kind of wanted to read.
Right. We're going to talk today about the book Smart Money, Smart Kids. It is written by Dave Ramsey and his daughter Rachel Cruz.
Rachel Cruz, Rachel Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, and we're kind of fans of Dave Ramsey, but we know not every one of our listeners probably thinks Dave Ramsey is the greatest person in the world, and we don't think he's the greatest person in the world, but even if you're not a huge fan of Dave Ramsey, this is sort of a unique book. We have both read The Total Money Makeover. I've read Financial Peace Revisited, I think. There's two or three versions of that book, but I think that's the one that I've read, and then we've read this book, and he has several others, but this book is different not just because he writes it with or co-authors it with his daughter, Rachel, but also because just frankly the subject matter makes it different. He mentions parenting in some of the other books because that's not the focus. He just has to frankly mention it. But this book is written sort of a father-daughter trade-off kind of deal. And you noticed that. It's hard to miss that as you read through the book. But you really liked that sort of trade-off, the Dave sections and the Rachel sections.
Throughout the book, in any given chapter, you would have Dave's section that presents things from his point of view. And then right after that, you might have Rachel's section that is her point of view of things. So it was really interesting to see the parent-child opinions about these topics that they were discussing in the books here.
I heard him say one time on his radio program, if you read through the book, you'll notice that Rachel wrote quite a bit of it. I think he said on the radio program that she has about 75% of the material. This is sort of more her book in a lot of ways, but he provides a lot of kind of here's what we did, because all three of his children now are grown, one in college, and the other two are out of college and married, but he lends a lot of the here's what we did when we were parents. But what we want to do on the program today is not just say, hey, go buy the book, although we think it's worth reading. And if you go to the show notes for this program, fawnfamily.com/5, you can get a link to get the book on Amazon in hardback or in Kindle edition. But we just want to simply talk about three or four takeaways, some things that you and I noticed and read through the book that either we thought, hey, that's a good idea, or frankly, something we're not doing or need to do better at. And one of the things that I wanted to start off with, and these are going to be out of order as far as they are in the book. They're just some things we thought about randomly as far as the order goes. But one of the things he mentions, or they mention, I should say, that children need to be taught, even as young of an age as possible, is the big fancy word for it is the opportunity cost of money. And what that basically means is, kids, if you spend your money here, you can't spend it there. It's not going to be there. But Leah, that's really, really hard to teach little kids.
Right, well, they just don't have any concept of where the money is coming from. It doesn't magically reappear at the bottom of the jar or at the, bottom of the purse. And so it is hard for them to know that, if you have $14 and you spend $10, that means you only have $4 left. Even if they can do math, there's just some connection that it takes them a while to understand where the money is coming from and that it doesn't reproduce itself. You have to earn it. And that's giving away another part of the book that we wanted to talk about.
That's all right. And all this flows together. And they even admit that in the book, that all this works, all this works together. But the chapter, I think, is called When It's Gone, It's Gone. Spending, When It's Gone, It's Gone, or something like that. But one of the things that they talk about in here that I struggle with, and we're not good at this, or I'm not good at this, maybe you're probably better at this than I am, and that is, they say you should let your kids mess up in this area. You know, if you're going to Six Flags or whatever in a couple of weeks, and you say, hey, you can take, you know, the $30 that's in your piggy bank, your spending piggy bank or whatever, but the week before they see a $20 doll and they buy it, don't give them the $20 back, and then let them, what's the word for it? I guess suffer. Although, you know, suffering at Six Flags, you know, that's a whole different podcast, since, you know, never mind. But let them feel that mistake, because to a kid, $20 or $30 is a ton of money, but it's better for them to make that mistake with that amount of money than to make a $25,000 mistake on a car when they're 20 years old.
And that's right. And that really is the essence of the entire book, your last comment. You know, people know Dave Ramsey and a lot of his material and his radio show. So much of it focuses on getting out of debt. And for Rachel's part in this book, she approaches it from, I've not been in debt and I don't plan to. And what does this mean for your children? How do we raise children who will not learn to be having a life of debt? And so I really appreciated that part, that style of the book, that we're not, well, how can we fix all of our money mistakes? We're trying to teach kids not to make them. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to make mistakes. But what you were just saying about spending your money and then wishing you had more for another time, well, that's a life lesson that you need to learn when you're younger, dealing with cents before you deal with it in hundreds of dollars.
And they even tell in the book, and we're not going to give them away, but they even give some stories about when she or her sister or your brother or whatever made these same mistakes when they were kids. Oh, I wish I had, you know, that $10 back, because I could buy this or we could spend it on that, but it was gone. And they mention that sometimes their parents would step in, there's grace, but not every time. But kids need to learn that concept, that if you have, you know, $15 in your piggy bank and you go spend $9 on something, there is only $6 left. When it's, as the chapter title says, when it's gone, it's gone. And that's one of the takeaways for us from this book, is just that letting the kids fail, letting the kids make a, you know, kind of a dumb mistake every once in a while, teaching them that over time, spending is okay, but spending wisely is what we're going for here. So that's kind of takeaway one, is teaching kids about the opportunity cost of money. Now, you've already mentioned, kind of dovetailed into another one of our takeaways, and as we said, this whole book dovetails together very well, and that is the concept that kids need to learn to work. Ooh, that's not a very fun word to kids. You need to learn to work.
Right. We were going to mention, you know, the different, you know, how is it that you teach your children to work? Of course, you're not talking about your child is 6 years old and you obviously make them go get a job. You know, we're not talking about that kind of work, but work in that they understand that that's where money comes from. Right. That you, money, no one just hands you money just because you're there.
Well, they shouldn't.
They shouldn't. And so, you know, the raising your children to know that if you want money, there is work involved. And more work most often means more money, and it can. And I know that we can argue about the validity of that, but, you know, in a general sense, people who are conscientious and they work very hard can be very prosperous, and that's the idea that you're wanting to teach your children.
And one of the things, before we start recording, that you talked about, that you liked about this book in a lot of areas, but it fits here very well, was they mentioned that some of these things are obviously true throughout the years. You know, when you're 5 years old, you should get a little bit of money because you've done a little bit of work. When you're 55 years old, you should get money because you've done work. But they mention in the book that, you know, when a kid is 4 or 3 or whatever, and you're giving them whatever, $2 a week for their chores or whatever, that does not mean they're going to do those chores perfectly. You're simply trying to build in them that concept that, hey, that was a good job. You tried at this. You tried cleaning your room, or you tried helping mommy with the dishes, or whatever their, you know, couple of chores are or is or whatever. this is not grammar week on A Legacy of Faith, but that they learn simply, like you said, that money comes from work. But then as they get to be 8, 9, 10 years old, it's not that you're a perfectionist, but you are then beginning to teach them that for you to be paid, not just the work needs to be done, but the work does need to be done well.
Well, and I think that the book does a great job of dividing up the ages and giving some practical ideas. You know, that's the kind of thing I need as I read a book. If someone says, here's a great idea, here's what we need to teach our kids, well, my first thought always is, well, how do I do that? And so there are a lot of very practical ideas in the book, and they're based on your age groups, and so it gives you somewhere to start, and I really appreciated that as a parent.
But the takeaway there really for us is just the general idea that kids at a very young age and throughout their years need to learn to work, but also that's where money comes from. If you've ever listened to Dave Ramsey for more than probably a day on his radio program, you know that he does not believe in allowance. He believes in commission. And now we will admit, this is an area that we agree with him on, but we are still not very good at it.
I think we were in a rut with it, and reading the book really makes me want to revisit that idea of ours and how we have our system set up to make it more, to let it be growing with the children more. I think that's where we failed. We've kind of said, okay, here's what you're going to do. These are your chores, and you do these, and this is the money. But that shouldn't stay that way for long periods of time. There needs to be some growth as the child grows. And so I think that's something that we were encouraged to do, and which we are working on.
Yeah, that's true. So that's a couple of takeaways already. The idea of helping them learn how to spend money, and when it's gone, it's gone. But also the idea of learning about work, and that's where money comes from. One of the things we need to touch on, just very quickly, we won't spend much time on this one, is teaching kids to give. One of my favorite things about the book, and if you've listened again to Dave Ramsey's radio program, he mentions this quite often when parents call in asking questions about dealing with their kids and money, is that most children, not all children, but most children naturally are givers. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so sometimes the challenge, it's not that you want them to give less. That's not the point. But the point is teaching them how that fits in, how that balances out with the rest of their, I know it's a fancy word for kids, but their financial lives, but not then taking away from just that natural inclination that, again, not every kid has, but most kids, whether it's money or just wanting to be around people and giving hugs or whatever, that they are just natural givers. And I really appreciate, there is an entire chapter in the book that talks about giving, but I really appreciate that it comes from it from that angle, that most kids are sort of born with this.
Right. And, you know, if you think about all of the opportunities, if you really sit down as a family and think about all the things you can do to help people, and, you know, and I think it's fair to talk about this, that, you know, you're not talking about giving only, giving to your congregation, which we do, but I think it's good, and I feel like this is something we need to work on as well, is being able to teach them how to give in other areas. If there's a missionary that you know personally, which we do, you know, I want us to do better at teaching the kids with their money how they can have a small part in helping someone else. I mean, that's just one small idea. There's so many people in, you know, people in your neighborhood, just so many ideas that you can actually start there and teach them not just to give, which we do, to teach them to give their money to God, give to the church, but to give in other ways too. It's just a thing that, like you said, it's in them naturally, but we need to grow it and show them different ways that they can do that.
And one of the things that's mentioned in the book, and I think Rachel's the one that actually writes about this, is they talk about the idea of it's not just giving money. You know, sometimes it is giving time, sometimes it is giving of yourself, but that also needs to be done in balance. Of then you need to teach kids, you know, as Christians, you still give financially, but you need to see your whole life as worthy of giving, of your time, your effort. And I really appreciate, even though it's only, what, a page or maybe less than that, that they mention that while you're dealing in financials here, obviously in this book, this, the idea of giving in general, needs to be emphasized, and just giving of yourself, giving time, energy, effort, whatever you want to think of it, that way. Leo, let's do one more. We've gone about 15 minutes here. Let's do one more takeaway, and that is for a little bit older kids, student loans.
Yep.
Our kids are only, you know, by the time this is put out, 8 and 7. Mary Carol's about 9, so we've got a handful of years left. But we know that when we were married, we had student loans, you know, thankfully, not a ton, but we had some. And one of the things that especially Rachel seems to be really focusing on in her work, not just in this book, but in her work, is trying to teach high schoolers and their parents that you don't have to have a student loan to be a student. You can go to college. And this book is not the manual for how to do that, but it is one of the more intense chapters, and I mean that sincerely. They absolutely are just totally against student loans and completely come at it with, you know, yes, a few ideas, but more just trying to change people's mindset.
Well, there again, this book is from the approach of not wanting your kids to start in debt. And how many adults start their lives in debt with student loans? And, you know, I mean...
And if I can jump in there, I'll let you finish in a second. How many of them plan for their own kids to start their lives that way? We'll just keep paying on ours just a little bit, little bit, little bit, but that means we can't pay for their college when they're 18, 19, 20 years old.
Right, and that is a cycle. It's a cycle because you're right. If you've spent your life as parents barely paying your debts off and just whatever little bit we can, but we still want to do fun stuff, we still want to have a life, well, then you've almost assured that your children are going to start their life with the debt. And then they will be in that cycle of, well, we've got all of these student loans. And, you know, you can just see how it continues on. And so, again, this book approaches this idea in that you want to teach your kids not to start their life with debt. And
not to see debt as the answer to any, especially major deal, buying a car, going to college,
right,
whatever.
And they encourage, not only in the book, but just only, you know, if you ever listen to the Ramsey radio show, just different ideas. You know, people have in their mind sometimes what that means to go to college, and you must borrow money to go to college. And, you know, of course, if you've listened any at all, and this is addressed in the book too, it's okay to work while you're in college. It's okay to save, and you ought to be saving while you're in college. And of course, you know, everyone hopes for scholarships, but you need to be prepared about what if that doesn't happen.
Or especially what if you don't get one of the big ones.
Right.
Everybody thinks if I don't land the half tuition or the full tuition, then I can't go to school. Well, there's still smaller ones. That you know, smaller scholarships that help, but even if you don't get any of those, it's still possible. You just have to be extremely creative.
And I want to add here too about this, that there's always this talk about, and you will read this in the book, about, you know, don't get into the idea about having to be in top colleges and Ivy League schools, and so many people overpay for things like that, when in the end a degree from a lesser expensive school would be fine. But I want to add that, you know, Adam and I are of the opinion that the school that we would most like our children to go to now is going to be more expensive than just the average community college or state school or whatever. And we feel strongly about that, but that's something that we know we need to be preparing for. And that's something that we're sacrificing things now so that we can be prepared for that. And so, you know, as parents, we just really feel strongly about that, to be able to save now for something that we want for our kids, that they might not be able to put themselves through that particular school. Of course, I don't mind saying we're talking about Freed Hardeman University. I'm going to go ahead and put the plug in there. We are alumni, so.
And I'm not going to, you know, obviously disagree with you, but I would add here, though, as well, right now we want our kids to go to Freed Hardeman because we think Freed Hardeman will be, safe, right, in the right word, but a good, solid, you know, Christian school. But I say that because if it's not, no parent should be locked into, my kid has to go to Harvard, or my kid has to go to Freed Hardeman, or my kid has to go to Stanford, or my kid has to go to Duke, or whatever. You need to keep having your eyes open that just because this school is good now, either in a Christian way or an academic way or whatever, doesn't mean it's going to be that way when your child gets to there. So don't just lock in on, this is the only school they could ever go to and be a success in life. And so, but yes, right now, we're planning on Freed Hardeman. but we're keeping our eyes there because we're not just locked into that just because that's where we went.
Well, and if you're doing your best to keep your own financial life in order, or maybe even to get it in order, if you're struggling with that, you know, we know so many families who are doing their best to try to make something of their financial life and not to continue the cycle of debt that we were mentioning earlier. But to be able just to be creative and determined that you will break the cycle is the most important thing, I think.
So this is a book. We've given you four takeaways, and there are a lot more. Like we said, we didn't want to review every chapter. There's 12 chapters in the book. We didn't review every chapter. That would be very boring for you, and you probably wouldn't want to go read the book. I will say this as we close, and Lee, I want you to kind of comment on this in just a second, too. Even if you're not a big fan of Dave Ramsey at all, even if you kind of disagree with some of his principles, I think this is just a good parenting book.
I do, too.
And you may not, again, agree with every word of it, but if you just are looking for sort of a good parenting book, especially in the area of teaching your kids about money, you can kind of get past the, what's the right word, Ramseyisms, I guess, and get to the bones of the book. And I think a lot of parents, whether they like him or not, or his message or not, will still find a lot of value in this book.
I agree. I don't know what else to say about that, but I agree. I think you're just right on that.
Boy, I'm good, aren't I?
You are.
No, but this is a book that it's a quick read, literally a weekend. If you've got a pretty slow weekend, you can read the book in a weekend. But it's packed full of things. It's one of those you'll want to go back and refer to several chapters again and again just to get ideas, as Leah said, or some stories just to make you laugh. Some of the stories are literally hilarious with some of the mistakes that were made in things. But it's just a great book and one that we wanted to take a podcast to just talk about, encourage you to get. Again, if you'll go to the show notes for this episode, and they'll be at fawnfamily.com/5. That's fawnfamily.com/5. You can see the four takeaways that we presented to you in this podcast, and also you can order the book from there. There's a link there to order the book as well from those show notes, fawnfamily.com/5. Before we close up shop, we want to remind you again to sign up for the Legacy of Faith newsletter. You can do that in the show notes as well. We send out to all of our blog posts, podcast, show notes, and email absolutely free. Leah, right before we start recording this, I noticed we're closing in on 450 email subscribers. We're getting a few more. It's slow, but we're building there. We're really excited about that. If you listen to the program on iTunes, we want to strongly encourage you to rate the program there and review us. And that's especially important with this week's program because we are still eligible for the new and noteworthy list on iTunes, but only for a few more days. You only have an 8-week window to be eligible for those, and we'll come off that eligibility in just a few days. And so the more ratings and reviews we can get on iTunes in these last few days, the more exposure we'll have in that window on iTunes. And so if you've never taken a moment to just give us a quick rating on iTunes or to write a little short, even one sentence review, we would appreciate it just because it's a nice thing, but also would mean a lot to us as far as the ratings there in iTunes. We would appreciate that greatly. If you're not an iTunes person, we're also on Stitcher Radio. You can subscribe to the program there as well, always free. And we are always excited about putting out the podcast free through those different avenues, and we appreciate those of you who listen to each one of those. Whew, that's all the technical stuff. Now the fun stuff. Our next program, which will be released in October, the first Thursday in October, will be on the subject of teaching children about worship. And we want to give you some practical tips to help especially smaller children, but even a little bit older children, learn some ways that they can interact in worship, learn some ways they can not just sit still, but figure out what worship is. And we hope to have some good resources for you on that program coming up in the month of October. Leah, is there anything we've forgotten that we need to say before we close up shop for not just this program, but the month of September?
Just thank you for listening.
I think that says it very well. Thank you for listening to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast, and we look forward to being back with you again in October.